very happy to welcome again Monica to Orville. And the last time she was here, she read also some of her poetry. And was very, really a lot of questions and really a lot of feedback. So it's always nice to invite her to come back again and to keep up with the inside journey and the outside journey that's happening to you when you travel from India, but also what's going on inside as you travel. So, glad to see everybody here and enjoy the evening. So, Monica Moni.
Thank you, Jill, for helping organize this again. And it is really, really good to come back to Orville and read. This is one of my most beloved places. I feel like there is a sense of home here, and I feel like the qualities of home and travel and love and travel are so interrelated. I don't see these as separate categories at all. I see them somehow speaking to each other. So when Jill and then Bridget asked me, what would you like to read about? I was like, well, what about poems on love and travel? I would love to talk to you about love, travel, and the poems that I'll be reading today as well. And thank you to Andrea and
Marie
and Kumar for doing this beautiful setup too. It's so interesting. I usually like standing up and reading so I can project. And today I saw this table lamp, and it's creating this intimate atmosphere. And it's like, okay, this feels right for tonight's reading. So yeah. And Sharon, thank you for first introducing me to Jill all those years, and other people all those years, all those months ago. So the first poem that I'm going to read is called How We Turn Vulnerable. The deepest, sweetest truths come to us on June nights. Warm air from the ceiling fan runs its broad mammalian tongue over them, leaving them sweaty and soothed. I let you lift from my mind like an air bubble. I begin to believe there is more to songs than syllables, more to stars than smallness, more to smoke than specters, more to wrecks than disuse. I employ me, my own scrivener, and write on walls, in shadows, on brass, on amaltas, in dust, on swallows, wherever I see the shape of wonder. When I first started writing poetry, it took me a while. I didn't approach love very quickly. It took me 3 or 4 years because it seemed to me that people were writing about this in very, very conventional ways. And, you know, the idea of romance has been done to death in movies, Hollywood, Bollywood, name it, right? And then at some point I was like, okay, it's time to start approaching this topic. So this is the first poem about love that I wrote, and it's called Capacity. Sometimes time is born tightly coiled. Sometimes it falls on you like shavings of light. Sometimes every turn stops dead, and there we sit like mad poets flinging dried talk in the air. We are alone and lighted only by the flame inside us. When we lie down, grasses grow from us. In this poem of mustard and breeze, I can hide my face in his shoulder always as he sleeps. Almonds are found in maple fruit, And Kitratui, like Peking, is just a name, the outpost of another poem. Tongueless like tears, we rest against each other, willful, knowing we have other faces. At Lansdowne. There is a star stitched, becomes your dimple. I count. A random number of bird songs in your cigarette smoke. Unintelligible murmur of my heart. Satisfying and chewy as food between us. Ticketless in our love, we alter. Swift garbs. Daylight sharpens its watch on us. To tell a scratch from precipice. Goes on. For whom does one reality suffice? O black swan, your black, the slick of a common umbrella, bring me the choicest worms to eat. Our mist eavesdrop on my yearnings, come down, hold me. Thing is Deodar's eloquence, summer, they say. Is troubled as glittering water, flamboyant as comic strip, endures tricks. What is lit up is not what we remember. Point, breathe. Toes step on flatness. Five leaves on moist ground. Clench, but they can't go back. For some reason, I really wanted to read this poem for a very dear friend who passed completely unexpectedly in 2007. And I feel like love of friends is also a very, very special kind of love in its own way. So this is Beat Elegy in Memoriam Shanti. Many times I tried to become a bard for her, but found my tongue lost to the screams in the mouth of my last night's dream. The dream where I run to catch the sorrows singing on his homely wall and find them black with my own blood. The dream where things happen without a reason or logic or forewarning and towers fall with no more provocation than a breath of flat air. The dream where I try again to run after and catch the japing sorrows, but they fly straight into the premises of a noble spirit guarded by snakes of dust and sweat and fearsome tears. So I can look at her cradled between the branches of Parijat, wearing a band of seven-color peacock feathers and a rope of charcoal, and my entreaties to her to remember him go unheard. My summons to our commonalities of age, once love, to no avail. My conjuring of that tangy summer evening disregarded where perfectly formed couplets were spoken and soared before our collective delighted eyes. And I give up and think she has returned to her own species. Or else the trace of blue under her eyes will become one day a blue bird resting its head at the tip of the branches. But the thought hurts so much, I wake up in a shrieking silence. So I've been very interested in the transpersonal aspects of love, and I'm also really interested in the day-to-day, the everyday lived experiences as well. And the title of the next poem is in the first line. Once I have been this open to love, if all my lovers are the face of love, I turn inward like a lotus and let lotus eyes droop into the moment, into that which is before you and me. This startling sight, insight, presences me to the burning in the center of the lotus. I rub like tactility against you. The living language in me is like a rife ripening. It is easy to hide. Treasure hunts are beautiful and make life what it is, but also a dropping heart. I drop my heart into my womb and wait for you. I wait with the truth of an eye, truth of a seeing. Patterns are not always true. When I say sadness, do you hear anger? When I say emotion, do you hear indulgence? In a lifetime of purpose, I'm certain there was nothing but an almost. This is what bereavement must feel like, she muses. Of all the hearts in her heart, this one spoke the most. This trembling lip of a kiss, this trembling of a laugh wider than life, and in her jaws we are sailing into the sea. I'm sailing in these human waters, a story of origins, these small details of a woman's life. I guard their preciousness with a sharp fang. It is not often she gets to tear. Even this world we live in, even so, ancestors are living through us, and we in them. Details are what this made the story mine. And now, in this moment of telling, I step back, not wanting to give you all that is me, but you already have me. The next poem is a part of a sequence of travel poems, and this is the third and the last poem in that sequence. And I wrote this sequence emerging out of my travels in India last year, and Auroville is a very, very crucial part of, well, this poem is it's called To a Love Story in Retrospect. Rain falls and I'm running out to catch rain. But rain escapes. Rain runs into my hair and hides. Rain speaks to me through its kungat of hair and I strain to hear it. Rain, speak rain. My throat is open with a drumbeat and urgency. In the midst of canyons and black walls lives a one-eyed ogre whose only message to me is to leave myself at home. But I keep it at my side, tug it along, bring it even to this home of ours, every hour. Not me, not me, knocks sirenhood against the grate. Coal, which is wise as an old seeker, burns and in burning rapture. Why, oh why we meet, but until the darling cracks open, there's nothing but soft grass to chew. You sang like a bird I did not know and could not name. You slowly grew on the page and I laid my head against you and wept and gave you a tear that was your wing, a pearl of such colors. You let me hold the tip of a feather and sought the skies with your eye, you who were familiar with the sky. Each bird had a tree to guard, the sky to guard. Each tree had spirits to guard, a hollow to guard. Each spirit had a story to guard, a grief to guard. Each story had lovers to guard, an ogre to guard. All lovers in bliss rubbed their cheek, their eye in clay. All clay was human. All human was heart. I held your heart and flew with it. You ran with me. Your throat was on fire and your fire gave me permission. I had no answers, only a list of questions. I promised you doors, I ran and hid inside you, and what came out was a cloud. Corners that have grown familiar. Heaviest that will hang is a desire things do not change, but the trickle of water. Doors framed by nails. I know you're lit inside me and knocking, but I see the schemes all too well. It hurts. You ask me and my eyes have a story, but there's an empty scream, an inability, an absence of grace. You're asking to roll our lives over to grief, aren't you? I'm crashing at the shores of longing, a wisp rising inside my ribcage, flattens itself against my stomach and listens to the gold rising of longing, where to wait for you is to flatten my ears against longing and to listen, listen, as a wave writes a message, a glyph inside my ribcage, listen as I rattle, an eye turned outward, an eye sipping on the longing of you, I drink you from earth and you rise in me, as dissolving, as coming apart as longing, until the letters in me turn unreadable and my eyes turn dark with the longing for you. I thought we'd take a 2-minute, 5-minute break where we can just talk before we move on to the next segment. Open to questions, comments, or you can tell me about yourself.
I'm interested, are you for sure found this place? Where are you from?
From
where?
Paris.
Paris. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Did you guys
all together? And you're staying in Oroville for some time?
For only a few days.
Oh, a few days. So serendipitous, you just appear. Mm-hmm. How is your English?
That depends on who you're talking
No, your generation is quite okay. Yes. Much better. Previous generation. Are you interested in poetry?
Yes, and we were going to just saw it, the ad, and we said, what about that?
Okay. Thank you for coming. Do you guys write? Do you
write?
Do you write poetry?
No, only. Just reading, and then mostly in French.
What I love about your poems that I remember also from last time is they're very grounded in earth and their sky and there's a real coming together of the people and nature, what grounds us, what holds us, and then where we can go from there. But I hear a lot of about the earth, about where we come from. Mm. There's a strong attachment to this place so that you feel very centered there.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's interesting the fact that I'm moving towards trying to live this connection more and more in my life rather than just leaving it on the page. Mm-hmm. How does this, you know, show up in my life, for instance? So, yeah.
Could you say something longer about the process of giving birth to a poem? Like, what is that really? How does it work?
I think each poem has its own urgency and its own way that it shows up. But to give you an example, what happened the last two times is I used to be one of those people who writes regularly, you know, but now I have other commitments, other obligations. I have my academic writing, I'm a PhD student as well, so there's all of that. And I am not able to write poetry every day, but the last two times I felt something rise in me, I felt something come up, and I've known that, okay, I may not know what it is that needs to be written, but there's something, or I may have some, you know, abstract sense of the shape of whatever that wants to emerge looks like, but I don't know it, I don't have the, you know, the texture of it until it comes out, and that's, then it's, I suppose it's as surprising to me as to you guys as the reader, because in some ways I'm receiving it too, I'm listening to it and I'm receiving it. And I like that. I like the fact that there's a lot of unknowing for me too, and at least in the first phase,
yeah,
before it becomes mine in some ways.
Yeah, I was kind of curious because I do feel that element of surprise, you know, it's really a very interesting experience to listen, and I was, you know, wondering how much is crafted and how much is just, you know, kind of spontaneously coming through.
Yeah.
It's interesting that reminds me of a quote by this Burmese Buddha monk called Sayadaw Yupandita. He says that in the unknowing we grasp and in the knowing we relinquish or release. Somehow in poetry the grasping happens in the unknowing for me. Like this, I mean, that's how there's something that you can connect to the unknowing. It expresses itself in one.
Yeah. And that's also how life unfolds, the rhythm of life, right? The whole tussle between the knowing and the unknowing. Yeah, I think some of that is definitely about poetry. It shows up in my poetry too, that whole tussle. So let me read a few more poems and then we can... I think this is fine. This will... Okay. Why not? Thank you.
Welcome to India.
One poem that I wanted to, and this is definitely about that tussle. Poetry bores me these days. In the shattered remains of conch shells, how many people searching for life, for meaning. But if I were to hand you the conch shells, you'd place them on your mantelpiece, or break them, or throw them away. I want you instead to raise them to your ears and sing the songs they are singing. Each song filled with the smudginess of meaning only the gods can know. I want you instead to raise them to your lips and drink. What they are filled with is honey, blood for your thinnest veins. I want you instead to bite them until your teeth shatter and shells grow out of your teeth, shells that are reaching the ground, shells that ants can scale, and little animals, and climb up so you can nurse them. I'm tired of poetry these days. But when I listen, I find etched in me ways to be cruel and ways to be kind, ways that are teaching me to grow like a sun-tangled flower towards faith and reason. All of it is spirit. Rub it on your eyes and see it grows in the cracks between words, between things, between people. Alone, it might be harder to see. spirit grows sturdier in the company of people, words, even things. Spirit, listen. Who am I writing this for? I did not want to write. I'm tired of poetry these days. You call me to pick up a pen and I'm writing, but my fear really is that I'll be selling my words to those it is easiest to know. And I see this next poem as a kind of a response, because, this poem is definitely a response that came through. This deep song thrumming in my chest, vibration created by our time together, mellowing hearts of spirits we called in, something thawing in ice that reigns inside rooms we live in. Ancestors giving us their mouths so we can feed them morsels of grief rising from our breasts, and blood, sadness dropping from their eyes. It all happened. Mountains moved. Leaves and mulch beneath our toes started to live in lines on our feet. Raccoon made a home in tree hole. Two hummingbirds sleeping on his chest. Patterns of energy shifted and a whole new way of looking looked upon us. Song spread into roots of old bark, becoming its fingers, its sap. Sap washed our cheeks and our breasts and we gave ourselves to earth. We flowed into earth and lived as the rhythms that startled people. We opened up a world, and world with its new season continents, world emerging from earth, rippled with aliveness. We welcomed its pulse. That animal stopped, and trees grew their years long. That spiders arrived to incubate the new world. That our fingers were filled with light, and our foreheads met earth. Our fingers dug into mulch, into leaves, and thus buried, we rested. That the space was round, and our hearts were brown and wild as earth. That when we looked up, there were crowns of trees, there was sky. And this is the first poem from the travel sequence I was telling you guys about. It's called Red Rides Up Your Arm. All mornings are this. Call to prayer and thin carpet of voices. They call out to you, but strange effect. Land's gun making strange gurgles in your head. And beyond troubled paradise lives a river. Smoke a river, and blue in your throat will bring fertile frogs whose time is precious as half-hidden paradise. Each call taken to a tall tower and thrown over the roof, dying and cackling, strange whirling all its own. Miracle lives in your breast and tries to sing. It is not tears. This language bears a hollow where land used to live. Your mouth is open as a sewer and they are rushing in with their stories. This consciousness of this language is bare as a rock on which you see someone sitting, who wears a ragged sheet too thin for stories. What sifts upward is of thinnest gruel, and thirst is yet big in your eyes. Not language, but something wet around the eyes. Single flower, yellow and flat, offered in a gesture you don't quite trust. There's something of poverty along your temples, and images you wear around your mathapatti, drawn up neat as words whose eyes seek to see, but you are too transparent for a tongue that. The next one is called The Only True Activity. Akram Bakram falls on my head and two splits into one. Ariye, your texture is sheathed with song and a limpid pleasure hangs between us as I step on rain. Billows with my mouth, moth lifted to an energy, sustaining this rise, this peak in your throat that is tubular and hollow tam, halting fiddle by fiddle. Salt on my skin licked by wounds, a healer's tongue generates its own language and an insect. As she grows, moths gather in my ear, confirm. My eyes are large, some clouds are needed. Right is a way off, for the wind is tumbling into my eyes so I can see only you, all of you, folds and all, and what speaks is a range of lies, and this my interior. I am not of the masses. They stand on me and hoist flags, but unto a count of three, semblance. Make like Mar, and the men in the Mar are counting to a 50 lash hyphen. Maybe a couple more. This is a poem that I wrote after one of my travels. And I wrote it for an incredible woman called Jayashree, who was working in the house of my friend's grandmother at the time. And I see so many women with this really strong spirit, and this is dedicated to all those women. It's called Happiest in the 8x10. She is a craggy feature of snippets, some fied, some pilfered, when snippets were fleshiest. Some are hers, talented practice in saving herself, remainder from marriage. Her practice deepens every year she returns home. A slant, the grand cant of her brothers, their offspring, their plans. A trunk in the balcony provides storage or nest, or find her in a kitchen. 37 days dishing, 37 a day. She fed me from her plank and pound. A scrap, a snippet flared, candent, out of her trunk, in her hand, in my hand. It was not an offering, really, and the showing was a question that housed 12 years must, a question seeking hers to grow. The daughter said, the red-lipped daughter of the mother dairy owner next to our house, with a scythe for a neck and scimitars for eyes, walked on her two scissor legs. Conversations with her were difficult. As she met your eyes, she turned a sudden into your reflection, you were left staring at yourself. One morning, I carried a rufous stone bowl to the shop, and amidst the onions, chilies, leafy spinach, tumbled water into it, slid next to the daughter as she bent to take out frozen peas, and saw her reflected, eyes snared and swirling black. She told me this: walk straighter than an assegai, kill faster than a scythe, paint lips red, wear war paint on the heart, glow eyes coal on the millionth second at the merest effrontery. Apartness is yours, claim solitude. The dark is yours, possess the night. Saying this, she straightened, smiled, and ebbed from my sight. This is a poem I wrote a few years ago, but somehow I wanted to read this today. So, yeah. I have more poems, but I think this is it for now. Is it early?
No, it's okay. Did you feel?
We could talk some more.
Mm-hmm. I'm just so much in the atmosphere of the poetry that it's hard to speak. You really create an atmosphere. Every poem I taste something that lingers afterwards.
What about Tarakamuni?
Yeah, I didn't bring anything from that, just because I've read from it recently. I had 3 readings in the Bay Area, and I was reading from it, and it's about to come out again. This is a book that I have coming out, and I just finalized the cover and the proofs and everything, and I sent it. And so I feel like when it comes out, I'll probably have to read a lot out of it. So,
what does it mean?
Blackwater, but some of you might know that this was also what people, freedom fighters who were exiled during the colonial rule, this is where they were sent to. This is an island on the Andamans. And when they were imprisoned and sent to that island, it was said that they were sent to Kalapani because they were crossing the seas. And in traditional Orthodox Hinduism, it's supposed to be a really big deal to cross the seas. So there is some of that too, some of that sense of being... being exiled, and ostracized, being ostracized from civilized society in some ways. So, Kalapani is about some of the ways in which, well, I think, so there are 2 layers going on in that. In one layer, you have the way in which a lot of us feel exiled from the state, from the way in which the state has these policies of, I don't know, alienating many different communities, many, many different groups, and elements of the earth and nature and things like that. So it's talking about those issues. And it's also, there's also a second layer of alienation that happens within so-called intimate relationships. And yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it coming out. It's been a while.
So the book will be called Kalapani?
Yes.
And it will come out when?
Well, it should be out in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, okay. Because everything is...
Will you get a copy for Orville?
I would love to send a copy for Orville. Yeah, for sure.
Put it in the library.
I'll send it to you then.
The color of the pony is color.
Yes,
How funny.
I like the title so much. Also, I remember that Sri Aurobindo's brother had to go to Manipur.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's an interesting book in the Ashram I know that's written by him about his experiences in the Kalahandi.
Yeah, I did not know that. I'll check that book out. What brought you to Orwell, all of you? A few days is a good start, right? I came for a few days last year and I'm back again for a few days. Where do you want to build your community? There in France.
We are interested in the idea of curiousness. We don't know if is that something that we want to experience for ourselves.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry for the weather.
Rain falls. I was thinking of, yeah, the rain was actually not falling at that moment, so I might have invoked the rain, so you cannot think. Yeah. But thank you for coming. Thank you so much. Thank you.